Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Bob Getty and Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bank Core studio here in Hattiesburg. Luke is out for a few days. Ironically, Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Core is here with us as well in the studio to do our weekly analysis of Southern Miss baseball. Always very glad to have him. Dickie's Barbecue Pit sponsors the opening segment of the show. It's a great place for dinner, and it's a great place to cater your next baseball weekend. You'll never be disappointed. Dickie's Barbecue, we appreciate all that they do for the Eagle Hour. All right, Daniel Stewart joins us in the studio. A little later, we'll be talking to Heath Hinton about the NIT women's basketball game taking place tomorrow night here in Hattiesburg. A bit of a surprise, I think that's fair to say, that the ladies got a home bid in the tournament, so good for them. They'll take on UAB tomorrow night, and we'll talk more about that later. But, Daniel, first, we were talking before we went on the air. You can say what you want to about Marshall, but Marshall was tenacious and tough, and I think you agree, yeah. Marshall's going to be a lot better than people give them credit for.
Yeah, I think so. They were gritty. You know, their coach was fired up, fighting for his team, so you love playing for a guy like that. But like I said, I think they're two arms and two good bats away from being really, really competitive.
I was glad to see them leave.
Me too.
I had enough of them after three games. All right, let's start with Friday night, and we have the combo of Nico
Mazza.
I think that's right. Nico Mazza and Cross Sibley, and they just seem to work like salt and pepper together.
Yeah. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So yeah. They've done that the last few weekends. That combo has really, really done well. Cross has pitched great in relief. You know, his first outing, I think he was a Sunday guy.
Mm-hmm.
Started, you know, didn't do well first game of the year. But put him back in that reliever spot, and he has just thrived ever since then.
So, Daniel, if you are used to being a relief pitcher and suddenly they want you to start a game, is that a difficult thing to do?
It might be. Just kind of depends on your mindset. I mean, I think every pitcher kind of wants to be a starting pitcher, but it is a different routine to get ready. It's a different routine every single game, because if you're a starter, you kind of know when you're going to pitch. If you're a reliever, you've got to be ready every single game. You don't know when you're called. So it's just a different approach mentally.
All right, so Mazza's your Friday night guy. That's the donkey, as Kelly likes to call him. But your analysis of how he's doing in that role so far.
Yeah, you know, you look at the stats, he and Oldham are right there, neck and neck, innings pitched, strikeouts, ERA, right there together. But, I think Nico's got a little bit more velocity, maybe overpowers guys a little bit more. Great Friday night guy. Like I said, Sibley coming in behind him, I like that combo a lot.
And just to clarify, because we made a big deal kind of about Mazza, okay? Because everybody had thought it was Mazza.
Yeah.
And people had been critical of John Cox, to be fair, saying, because John has been calling him Mazza.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go to the source, right? So you go to the source, and Nico says it is Mazza.
Yeah.
So if that's the way Nico pronounces it, that's the way everybody should pronounce it. So kudos, I mean... Yeah. You know, John gets criticized, you know, but that one he's got right.
Well, just looking at how you spell it, I've always said Mazza as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to get it right.
Yeah, and when they asked Nico, why haven't you sent anything up to now? Well, I want to upset anybody.
I interviewed him about three times last year right to his face. Nico Mazza on the Eagle Hour. He just smiles.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that's a great combination.
Yeah.
I got to tell you both guys who my favorite pitcher is. I love watching Billy Odom pitch. He doesn't pitch hard.
No.
He's just not going to see no 95-mile-an-hour fastball. But, man, batters seem frustrated hitting against him.
He's got a great off-speed changeup. He can keep hitters off balance with that. I mean, he's 90-91, so when you've got a great changeup, good off-speed pitches, it makes it seem like 93 to 94. So he can sneak some fastballs by some guys and is keeping the balls off the big part of the bat. So that's been a big key to his success this year.
Kelly, what do you like better, the flamethrower or a kid like Odom who just has everybody – almost falling off their feet trying to find his pitches?
I'm not a big fan of the flamethrower because, generally speaking, guys are going to hit fastballs, more times than not. I want somebody that can dot the corners, change speeds, work up and down in the zone. And I know I'm going to mention one of Daniel's guys, and I want to know, does Colby Allen dress in a phone booth? Is this guy Superman, and we don't even know about this guy? Yeah. An amazing story that's emerging here.
It's quite possible he splits his jersey up and afterwards and reveals a Superman.
And let's save that part of the story to the next segment.
Sure. Okay,
you like him, don't you?
I do. He's been the
go-to guy when Odom runs out of juice, and that's worked as well as the Friday night combo.
Yeah, it really, really has. Those two guys have worked well together. And with Colby, I think he worked four innings on Saturday in the extra inning game. So he can throw 50, 60 pitches an outing and still be okay.
Yeah.
Can I just make a couple of observations about the game, the health of the game as it is now? I wasn't sure that I was going to like the pitching time clock. Now, love it.
Yeah.
I really, really like that, making sure, let's get what we're going to do and get it done, all right?
Yeah.
And if anybody at Southern Miss didn't think that getting that turf down was important, you guys, if that turf is not down, none of those games, that whole series is washed out, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, back when I played, it was dirt and grass, and we were tamping the mound and doing a lot of work after the game. So kind of mentally I said, those guys have got it easy now. But when you look at it in its totality, that field the way it is now is going to let you play games that you otherwise would not get to play.
Look at Sunday. I mean, it rained up until 30 minutes before the game started.
Sure did. Yeah, still got to play.
But do you guys like the time clock?
Well, I think the pitchers and the hitters have adapted to it. It does cut down on all of the stepping out of the box, adjusting your wristband so much, stepping off the rubber, makes the game speed up. I know Saturday's game now, our pitchers were doing really well, but I think we were in the seventh inning, and we'd only been an hour and 15 minutes. So the game times have really sped up because of it.
But the biggest complaint that a lot of fans had, particularly in the Deep South, as you get deeper into the season, these weekend games, people get hot, sunburned. Yeah. They might be having some adult beverages. And that's a bad combination. Yeah. But now I think it's great.
I don't like seeing the instances where a guy strikes out in a key situation because the umpire says, you got to 20 seconds. That part of it's kind of tough to watch. But the hitter's also got to know, hey, I've got to operate within this time frame. Pitcher has got to know, I've got to operate within this time frame. So I think they've adapted and gotten used to that, so we're probably not going to see some of those unfortunate incidents
anymore. Right, before we get to Sundays, we can't talk about the series without talking about the play.
The play.
And I don't want to talk about that as much. I want to ask you this as a former pitcher. Had you ever seen a game where you go into the eighth inning and there's not a no-hitter on one side of the field? It's a double no-hitter.
I've never witnessed a double no-hitter. In my career at Southern Miss, we got no-hit one time. UNO, of all teams, no-hit us down at their place one year. But having both pitchers deep into the game, I think into the eighth innings with a no-hitter, and giving up those no-hitters on home runs at that, too, both of them.
In the same inning.
it was pretty special to watch.
Yeah, and kudos to that kid from Marshall. And kudos to our fans, Kelly. They gave that kid, the Marshall kid, a standing ovation when they finally pulled him out of the game.
One way that you can always tell the intelligence of a fan base is when you get a reaction like that.
Yeah.
When you go to Indiana, they know basketball, right?
Right.
You go to Michigan, they know football. Southern Miss, they know baseball.
Yeah, it was good. Baseball. It was good to see. It was the right thing to do,
and he deserved it 100%.
Minute left this segment. Then we get to Sundays, and I thought Armistead probably had his best Sunday start.
Yeah, I think so. He's had some ups and downs this year, but got it together on Sunday and did really well. So that was good to see. Very impressive.
Do you still see drop off? Is not a good term, but do you still see a difference in our Sunday starter and bullpen than what we're seeing on Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, you know, after Cross Sibley, after Colby Allen, Chase Adams was I think the guy that came in.
Yeah, pitched really well.
Really like McCarty English as well. Yeah. I think he's got a great career at Southern Miss. But I think the longevity that some of those deeper relievers have isn't what you're going to see out of Sibley and Adams.
Yeah, and so Sunday's still kind of a work in progress. Is that fair to say?
It is. But, hey, we got it done. Got our first sweep of the
year. Yeah.
But you guys didn't say whether you would have made the obstruction call or not. You know, I'm glad it went. I'm glad it went the Eagles' way, but. Boy, that's
technically that was the rule.
Correct.
And he carried out the rule. It's a tough thing to watch.
Yeah, you hate to see a game that went the way it did in that way, but it is what it is.
Let's just be glad it didn't go the other way. Can you imagine the crowd reaction had that happened?
Well, I knew when the umpire immediately came out and went straight for the Marshall bench.
I knew it wasn't good for Marshall.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Colby Allen and another great new name, Davis Gillespie. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. You can visit Miss Kathleen. She's there 7 days a week, and she is looking for part-time help. So if you want a great part-time job, a great atmosphere, and a wonderful boss, go by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street and talk to Miss Kathleen.
Free Kathleen. Yes, so she doesn't have to be there 7 days a week.
Don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's available every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in, and everybody but Kelly can tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And it's his history with women, Daniel. Even Alexa doesn't want to have anything to
even
do
mechanical with women. I don't have, you know.
Right. Okay, so earlier this year, you told me that your favorite relief pitcher at that point was Colby Allen. So I went and interviewed him because I knew you were going to be on the show today.
And great.
Something came out in the interview that I think is going to surprise everybody. So let's hear the interview, and then I want to hear your thoughts. All right, Colby Allen on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Once again, Colby, you come in as the, you know, in a relief situation and just really get the job done. Your mind thought, what you're thinking when you come on the field.
I just go in there and trust my stuff, you know, try to make them beat me. I knew my sinker was playing well. I knew my slider felt really good today, and I threw that mainly today. Felt really good.
Does it put more pressure on a pitcher when you're in a game like this where no one can seemingly hit and score?
It tries to sneak in the back of your mind. I know when Billy was rolling with no hits, I was like, dang, I'm about to come in with no hits, you know. But, no, once you get going, you kind of forget about all that stuff and just try to pitch it and have some fun.
Was it a little better that maybe he gave up a hit before you came in?
It was. It gave me a little bit of relief, but I knew how to come in and do the job. So,
all right, tell our listeners your journey here, what led you here, and how things in your mind are going for you.
Oh, well, it's kind of odd and different than everybody else. I was going to Northwest Pacific Community College to catch, and I pitched a little bit in high school. Knew I was upper 80s, 90s. Came here in a camp like in June-ish before my freshman year at Northwest and pretty much got offered there and took it. I mean, I grew up as a Southern Miss fan all my life, so it's pretty much a dream come true.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the head coach at Northwest a Southern Miss guy too?
Yes, Mark Carson. Good guy. Love him to death.
So did he encourage you to come here?
At first, I think he was a little shocked. He didn't have any idea that was going to happen, but yeah, he loved it. He loved it.
I think what you just told me is pretty remarkable. You didn't pitch much in high school. You've learned this since you came here?
Yep, I grew up pitching a lot, and then in high school I kind of just mainly catch. I think I threw only like 13 innings my senior year of high school. So, I mean, I've always been a strike thrower, and Coach Oz saw that, and we changed some stuff up, and I'm here today.
Coach Oz doesn't like walks, does he?
No, he doesn't. If you throw strikes, you're going to get thrown in the fire.
Right, right.
Your thoughts about being here. What's it like to play on this field? What's it like to be a part of this program?
Oh, it's awesome. It's a winning program, and I mean, we carry that chip on our shoulder, you know. We want to carry on the legacy, and it's just fun to – I mean, fans are awesome here. They freaking sell out every time we play on this field, you know. They bring a lot of energy, and we try to put a good product on the field.
When a young player like you comes here, is it shocking when you first play here to see the atmosphere?
I think I was kind of used to it. You know, I've never been a – really stuff like scared me like that, but I know for sure some of our freshmen – man, we try to tell them, like, hey, it's going to be a lot of people here and it's going to be loud, you know, but yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome when it gets freaking rowdy in here like tonight. It was awesome.
All right, what are the expectations for you and this team?
Oh, man, I'm just going to keep doing my thing, keep throwing strikes, and we're just going to keep winning. That's it. Keep playing ball, and whatever happens, happens.
All right, the message I'm getting from you is that if you want to pitch for Oz, you throw strikes.
That's it. Last year, I told the reporters last time, I got a lot of opportunities last year. My stuff really wasn't good. I really wasn't that good of a pitcher last year. I just threw a lot of strikes, and I kept getting thrown out there. And I tell our guys, all our young guys who's trying to press too much and nibble and say, oh, I got to make this pitch to pitch well, just throw strikes. Coach Oz is going to have faith in you, and he's going to throw you out there.
Great start to the season. You guys are pretty excited. Describe the mindset of the ball team.
Oh, just go out there and win the game tomorrow. We know it's going to be another good game tomorrow. They're going to come out hot, especially after what just happened. So we got to play our best game tomorrow to win.
You're off to a fantastic start. You're doing a great job, young man. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Eight games, Daniel, 25 innings, 1.75 ERA. He's 2-0, 31 Ks, 6 walks, pitched a total of 13 innings in his high school career. Does that surprise you?
I'm glad you gave me a heads up on that first, because had you told me now, I'd probably be speechless. You know, he's pitched more in this short season than he did his whole high school career.
Right, right.
So, but they're just, you know, you listen to him talk, you can tell, blue-collar guy. He's going to do whatever's going to help his team. If Coach Oz asked him to play left field, he learned to play left field. In this case, Coach Oz saw that, hey, I've got an arm here. I've got a great pitcher. Let's give him some info. Make that bring out some of those qualities I see. And gosh, look at what he's done on the field. It's been amazing.
And if you would have asked me what position he played in high school, I would have never thought catcher, because he's a teeny guy compared
to.
Not
very big.
No,
he doesn't have that typical catcher build.
Right.
And you know, a lot of times your catchers are taught to short arm the ball, but he can really long arm it, and has got some really good, like he's talking about, a sinker, slider, got a great repertoire of pitches, and really doesn't have a lot of historical experience throwing them. So to see him out there doing what he's doing this year is really amazing.
One of the quotes of the season right there in that interview with Bob Getty: it's freaking exciting, and we freaking sell out.
All right, Kelly, I want to play this as a short interview. This is the kid you were bragging on before the season started.
In the fall, man, I told you.
All right, listen to this. All right, Davis Gillespie on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Before I talk about this weekend, I want to go back to Tuesday night, and I want you to tell me what was in your mind when you hit that double against Alabama and this place exploded.
That's something I've never experienced. It was a big crowd. The moment was big, and it was awesome when it happened.
All right, Davis, have you played first base before, or is this a learning experience?
I did in high school a little bit. My senior year, I got a little bit of work over there. So it's not totally new, but I'm still working there.
Well, it seems like you've won first base, and you're playing well there, but your bat, young man, is on fire.
I appreciate it, yeah. Just trusting the process, you know. Trust what you worked in all through the fall to now.
We heard a lot about you during fall practice, and some of the older guys talking about what a stick you are. What are your goals for the rest of the year? Because you're certainly off to a magnificent start.
We want to keep this. The conference is the most important games of the year. We want to keep winning the conference games, and then every game. So it'd be nice to, you know, keep winning. That's the main goal.
I always love to talk to young players about playing here at this ballpark. What is this like?
it's awesome. You know, I came here in high school to watch some games, and the atmosphere is great. So watching it and then playing it, it's just totally different. It's awesome. Everything you could ask for.
Is that what led you to come here, the fact you had come and watched this team play?
Definitely one of them, yeah. There's so many reasons, but no doubt that's one of the reasons.
Any regrets?
None at all. Zero. It's awesome.
You got to feel really good about what you're able to do this early in the year, right?
Yes, I appreciate it.
All right, Kelly, you bragged on this kid at the start of the year. He's played in 14 games. He's hitting .304, three doubles, three home runs, 14 RBIs, has walked four times. He's a freshman.
And for him to do that against Alabama, remember, this is a Birmingham kid. Mm-hmm. All right, so the school that everybody in Alabama wants to play for, supposedly, and he sticks it pardon me, my allergies, and he sticks it to Alabama like that, that had to be great. But this kid, too, is like a Greek god. I mean, he's a physical specimen. This guy, he could play football.
Yeah.
At Southern Miss.
Yeah, he could. At this level, you've got to put the guys that are going to perform on the field. And, you know, the other guys got chances, and it really came down to who was performing at the plate. And Gillespie has done that this year, so got to find a spot for him in the field to play.
He can't be taken off first round.
No. I think we found our lineup finally.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think the only area it's still a little uncertain is catcher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think those guys are young. We've got four catchers on the roster. Key's got to play Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And threw somebody out.
And defensively, our catchers are really good. You know, we had some trouble throwing some guys out. Key's got a great arm, threw a guy out. If we can lock down the catcher position, man, we're going to be tough to beat.
But you won't have to throw that many guys out because they can't steal first, right?
Can't steal first. And if you walk people and put them on base, you're probably not going to be on the mound. Yeah.
I describe our pitching staff at times as suffocating. They just seem to suffocate the opposition now.
Yeah, they do. Everybody we run out there has got great stuff. You know, we've had some hiccups here and there, but gosh, for the most part, everybody that we have can perform, can do well, is going to get out there and compete. And
I had a fan stop me yesterday, guys, at the gym, and he's always out on the roost, and he was so excited. Man, he expressed, "I'm excited about this. I think this is the most talented team we've had in a long time." We've had some great baseball teams in the last couple of years, particularly, but Kelly, this team is deep with talent.
Well, the pitching staff, this is why in the major leagues, a guy works once every 5 or 6 mm-hmm. days and makes $60 million a year. That's how important pitching is. And this staff is the deepest, talent-wise, that I've seen in a long time. And you remember going back to last year, some of the starters said, "You think we were good? Mm-hmm. We're leaving. Wait till you see the guys that are behind us that are going to get to step up next year," which is this year.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, can you stick around?
I can.
We're going to talk a little basketball with Heath Hinton, and then we're going to talk about the game against the school up north later. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. Great place to have lunch. Great place to join your friends for a good cold Pabst Blue Ribbon at night and catch whatever ball game's on there.
And, Bob, can we have just a moment of silence for the $9.95 lunch?
It's gone, isn't it?
It's
$10.95.
It's $10.95 now.
Well, let me tell you, I'd pay $15.95 for the lunch on Friday.
That catfish, you've been a long, outspoken supporter of that particular.
That's good stuff. Yeah. The official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour is Genesis of Hattiesburg. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road. And coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom. It's gorgeous, guys. It's gorgeous. On Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right. Kind of surprising news, I think it's fair to say, this week when we learned yesterday that the women's basketball team had secured an NIT invite. And I think what was even more surprising to me, Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation, is that The Lady Eagles are going to host the opening round tomorrow night against... You knew if it wasn't South Alabama, it had to be UAB, right?
Yes.
We're not allowed to play in postseason unless we play one of those. It's an unwritten rule. So the Lady Eagles will host UAB tomorrow night. Heath, are you surprised by this?
A little bit, yeah. This is kind of out of left field. Don't know really expecting it, but four Sunbelt schools all in the same side of the bracket. How about that? And if I'm understanding correctly, it's average home attendance is who gets the host. So even though a team in the second round has a bye, doesn't mean, but seating prep doesn't mean no host. It's the team that actually averages the most fans. So the Golden Eagles may, you know, if the Lady Eagles can win, play next round, they may host again. And who knows? They're in the same side of bracket with, say, a Louisiana Monroe. If them and Louisiana Monroe meet up, Southern Miss may host Louisiana Monroe. So it's just a weird format of a bracket. It's one of the two women's tournaments, Southern NCAA tournaments out there, and it should be a lot of fun.
All right, last time they played, 2017, here in Hattiesburg, they lost to Little Rock, 72-62, but it was back in 15 that they made quite a run. They beat Texas Southern. They beat TCU in overtime. They beat Eastern Michigan. Four games in would have been the game to decide who went to New York. And they lost here at home. Believe it or not, they sent Michigan here. And Michigan won the game 69-60. Previous to that, in 2014 and 2008, they were paired up in the same tournament, and it was in Hattiesburg. I'll take that back. And let me clarify something. They did go to Ann Arbor to play Michigan. I knew that was too good to be true. But 2 years prior to that, 2008, 2014, Mississippi State was in the same bracket with the Golden Eagles, and they split that. So good opportunity. I think it, as I looked at the bracket last night, Heath, I would think the first two games are winnable for the Lady Eagles.
Absolutely they are, very much so. And, you know, Dom, how is it for Dom to get to have another game on home floor? And maybe even more than that, how appropriate is that? And for, just to see some of those girls play again, that's going to be a lot of fun. And these are winnable games for Southern Miss. These are games where Southern Miss could advance. And just wish it was on TV, but these games aren't on TV, but you can always listen and keep up with it online. It's going to be a – you just have to be happy for Coach McNillis and a team who had some struggles this year. Coach had some difficulties with health and other things that kept her away. They're still good enough to secure a postseason bid. So congratulations to them. Great job.
All right, so you are going to clarify that for us. I really wasn't aware this game will not be televised. Is that correct?
Everywhere I have seen that it will not be televised, guys. I haven't seen anywhere saying that it's televised.
Well, I got a good idea.
I may be wrong.
I got a good idea. Why not buy a ticket and go to the game?
Yeah, that would be a good idea,
Cause
that would be a good – I mean, unless you're like, you know, Ohio or something, you want to see somebody's your school play. It might be a little tough to do, but, yeah, go buy tickets. And, hey, the more tickets you buy – maybe that'll help, you know, if they win and get host again.
You may want to stop by Walmart on the way and pick up a pair of earplugs. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, get there about 30 minutes before the game, and I think you'll have a pretty good idea.
But I concur with Heath about, you know, Dom Davis and McCaitlin, all of them getting one more game because they ended – I mean, yeah, they lost in the tournament in the second game. But they were really on a hot streak up until then. And for a celebrated group like this team – And I've always thought the unsung hero of the season was Jack Trosper, who was filling in as, you know, when Coach McNillis was under the weather. With all the things that they've had to go through, they did it right. I mean, they started out kind of slowly, but then were playing the best basketball toward the end of the year. And then just to have the season end so abruptly like that. And really, there's a new trend now. You guys are noticing this in NCAA basketball teams. There's a lot of the men's teams that are not accepting NIT invitations. They're just saying, no thanks. The goal is to make it to the NCAA tournament. If we're not good enough to play in the NCAA tournament, then we're done. Yeah. So there's a lot of teams declining these. And the fact that Coach McNillis has always said this is about the players, You know, it's not about egos or coaches. I think it's great that they're getting to play on.
Speaking of basketball, your alma mater is kind of a BA in basketball, aren't they?
Yes, but we have this really bad history at Iowa State of getting everybody's expectations up, and then we lose to Wofford or Stetson in the first round of the tournament.
How great is it that the NCAA changed the rules for the NIT to, you know, make sure these Power Five schools get an automatic bid, and then come to find out, guess what? The automatic qualifiers don't want to go. I just think that's hilarious.
I think that is
absolutely hilarious.
They get what they deserve, don't they, Heath?
That's exactly right. Take the automatic qualifying from the group of five, and then you say, give the power, going to make sure these Power Five teams with 500 records get in, and they're all like, nope, we don't want to play. I love it. It's hilarious.
All right, Heath, tip-off time for that game tomorrow night is
6 p.m.
Okay. UAB and Southern Miss. Never seen UAB here before, but
well, former Conference USA opponents.
Yeah.
You know, and on the men's side at UAB, the head coach at UAB used to be the head coach at Ole Miss, and he's got UAB in the men's tournament. So
we don't say those words on this show.
UAB
is the school up north.
Oh, the school up north. Oh, well, we're going to talk about them a little bit later, but in a baseball context, right?
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, Heath, we've been bragging here for 30 minutes about how talented our young team is, and got our analyst in here, Daniel Stewart. We've been talking about the pitching staff, and Kelly's been promoting it since this fall, but I think that his predictions are proving to be true. I think this may be the most talented team we've had in the past several years.
Well, I think Kelly remembers. I think me and Kelly, I remember I said it too. I thought the staff had a chance to be one of the best ever.
Yeah.
Before the season, just because of the depth on it.
Right.
And I think we're seeing that. I mean, there's multiple guys that throw 90 plus, and you got guys that throw 92, 93, but they're throwing from different arm angles. You've got different action. You got Kobe Allen, who just has so much weight on his ball when he throws it. And if it stays in the zone, it's double play, double play. You've got JB, who can come in there gas at 97, 98. I mean, you got lefties. You got they all have the, you know, Auk has that weird delivery from a lefty and has a slider that's it just comes out weird. It's hard to pick up. All these guys have pitches that are hard to pick up out of the bullpen. And you can tell with all the swings and misses. It's been a lot of fun watching this pitching staff. And be interested to see what Coach Oz does tonight in midweek game and see how he patches things together.
And Bob, you've always made the comment, too, about how quickly Coach Ostrander comes out with the gaff, right? I mean, if the pitcher stubs his toe, boom, he's coming out. But remember, it's not personal, and he has the depth and the talent in the staff to be able to do it.
Right.
All right? Sometimes you'll say, why is this coach leaving him in? You know, when
he's
not
got nobody else to go get.
Correct. Yeah. That's right. But with this Southern Miss staff, you could throw a blanket over seven or eight of them, and it really wouldn't matter too much which one came out.
Quickly, guys, speaking of former pitchers here, Tanner Hall made his debut this week. Now listen to this. 12 pitches thrown. He threw 12 pitches. 9 were strikes. 9 were swings by the batter. 8 were whiffs by the batters, and 8 and 3 strikeouts. So a pretty good debut, Kelly Sander, for Tanner Hall.
He might make the team if those numbers keep up. I mean, I know it's cutthroat, but I think those numbers are good enough to make the team.
No greater kid has ever played here from a character standpoint than Tanner Hall, man. What a great
A guy that was sought after, that a lot of people came after him, and he said, nope.
Yep.
Going to stay in Hattiesburg, and I watched a little clip of him pitching, and that they still can't hit the changeup, even professional hitters. So it was darting all over the place, and you could just see the looks on their faces. It was quite funny.
Good for Tanner Hall. All right, Heath, thank you, buddy.
I'm looking for him. Thank you.
How do people join Big Gold Nation?
I would just go to southernmiss.rivals.com, click on become a member, and I've got a lot of good stuff going on, talking basketball, talking baseball. Baseball is a hot topic, and hey, football returns to practice field today. So.
Gotta keep that money coming in to fuel that jet. So if we can,
anyway,
we can help you, we will. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Heath Hinton, everybody. We'll be right back. Wrap things up with Daniel Stewart.
tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation for joining us. This segment of the show is sponsored by D-Bat on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball, softball training. Luke Reynolds, former Golden Eagle baseball player, is the manager down there. So you know you'll get the first-rate training for your children at D-Bat on Hardy Street. Town & Country Cleaners is Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family-owned and operated since 1983. They offer a wide variety of services. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their great location on Hardy Street across from USM, or you can call them at 601-264-4921. And finally, Kelly's favorite, Mo Bay Beignet, where he got curb stomped by Luke Johnson in the beignet eating contest. We were very ashamed of you that day, Kelly. You really, poor performance. 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. And although Kelly didn't win the contest, being the warrior he is, he did eat all six of the beignets. It just took him a little longer.
I just like to, you know, take it slow, savor the flavor, baby.
Savor the flavor.
And I wanted to ask you, too, Bob, a Town & Country Cleaners. Now, you know, it's one thing to be a cleaners, but unless you offer bulky bedding services, I'm not interested.
I can understand that, yes. But they do. They specialize in bulky bedding.
I'm glad you. That, you know, when I was in Chippendales, that was my stripper name.
Bulky bedding?
Bulky bedding, yeah.
That's a thought I could have done without.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that.
We've got a guest here today.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel may not come back.
No. I'm sorry about that.
Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Corps here with us, of course, former pitcher for the Golden Eagles. All right, Daniel. We play the school up north tonight, midweek game,
ooh,
Tuesday. Oz made a comment yesterday to us that kind of caught my ear. He said, well, I still got some on the roster that are chomping at the bits to show me what they can do. They may get their chance tomorrow night. What does that signal to you?
Tonight.
Well, tonight. That was yesterday.
You know, it signals that we might see some faces playing tonight that we didn't see this past weekend. And that would probably more so on the mound. I really thought that we were going to see Boswell start on Sunday. I think that was kind of what the expectation was. Pulled him out against Alabama pretty early Tuesday night. So I'm expecting Boswell gets the start tonight. I don't know if he's going to be on a short leash, long leash, or what. I think that's still yet to be seen. I'm just going to trust Coach Eyes knows what he's doing. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to get to see some guys play that maybe haven't played a lot against Ole Miss.
On a 1 to 10 scale, you guys, let me ask you guys this. On a 1 to 10 scale, everybody kind of readily admits that the catching position, if this team has a weakness, it's at the overall catching position. Knowing that the strength of any team is up the middle, right, and comfortable in all the other positions except that catcher position, is it 1 to 10 – how big of a problem is the catching situation at this point, at this time of the season, if you had to go 1 through 10? Daniel?
You know, I would probably say pretty low, maybe a 3,
okay,
honestly, because I'm not concerned defensively with the ability of our catchers. I think that's not anything in question. Those guys have done really well. Not a lot of pass balls. Haven't thrown a lot of guys out, but I'm really not concerned yet too much about that. Hitting wise, yeah, they've struggled. That's no big secret there. So, but defensively on the field, I think any one of those guys are going to be able to get the job done.
What say you, Bob?
I tend to say the same thing. Defensively, they seem okay.
It's, yeah.
Offensively, I think he's looking for someone that can hit the ball consistently.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I'd have to go a little higher than you guys, but not much higher,
yeah.
You know, a 5. And the thing that you hope is that one of these guys will separate themselves. And what's a little disconcerting to me is none of them at this point appear to be doing that.
No, I think that's why we saw Keys. We're like, okay, let's see if Keys can separate himself.
Mm-hmm.
Did really good defensively, threw a guy out, but didn't do anything at the plate.
And now there may be a little bit of concern at second base due to injuries. We learned yesterday that who's the freshman that
Seth Smith
hurt his hand. That's why you didn't see him. The kid that transferred here from Valpo, the second baseman, also injured hand.
Oh.
And so we saw Monastir go to second.
Right.
And the young man brought us come in and play third. And we got depth, Daniel, because that looked pretty solid, didn't it?
Well, you know, I honestly didn't know that was the result of an injury. I was thinking, okay, here's maybe as I looked at the lineup earlier, that was kind of my ideal lineup, was Monastir at second, Broadus at third. Then we talked about, you know, some weakness in the first base position and getting Gillespie over there. And everything kind of seemed lined up. So yeah. I didn't realize that was a result of an injury.
Because Gillespie and Broadus were both battling for third.
Third, right.
You know, and then Broadus started, you know, slumped a little bit at the plate. So, yeah, when you've got great players.
But it really speaks to the depth of this baseball team.
It does.
And that's key.
And you hope that that injury bug doesn't get much bigger than
it
is.
How often do we talk about that? You talk all you want to about talent and all this, but injuries oftentimes determine the outcome.
And in the NFL especially, they keep talking they want a longer season. Well, usually the teams that make it to the Super Bowl have their starting quarterbacks still in the lineup.
That's right.
It's not that other teams aren't better. It's just that these teams have their starting quarterbacks
better
players
healthy. Players played longer.
Right.
Yeah. All right, just for fun, guys, let's go around the horn. Kelly, what happens tonight?
Southern Miss wins. They beat Ole Miss. I'm telling you, this is a really good Southern Miss team.
I agree. I think Southern Miss wins tonight.
Let's make it a trifecta. The Golden Eagles defeat the school up north.
The Black Bears.
It's confusing.
It really is.
It changes a lot.
Travis Creel on the show tomorrow to tell us all the glorious details. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Till then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.